Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
It has been a fast 3 weeks. I tell you, the weeks, the months, and even the years are going by too fast for me nowadays. Seems like I'm having two birthdays a year. Nobody wants to do that when you turn 40 like me. Hallelujah. Well, if you love the Lord, say amen. Praise God. Again, thank you so much for being in the house of the Lord and in the presence of God. And tonight, in our third lesson on the subject of holiness, because we all want to wear the mark of the best. We don't want to be caught in this world with the mark of the beast, but we do want the mark of the best. And the mark on the children of God in this last generation is holiness. That's our mark. We have been marked. Amen. And so let us go to the Lord in prayer. This will be interwoven intermittently with much scripture. And so let's just go to the Lord in prayer. And let's ask God to affect our lives with this subject matter tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus, again, we cannot thank you enough, Lord, for what you're doing with us and what you're doing through us and where you are taking us. God, the limit. You said in the Word of God, Lord, that there is, against such there is no law. We can have as much holiness as we want. We can have as much Holy Ghost as we want. We can get as close to you as we want. And I thank God that there are no laws against it and there are no lines tonight. And we want as much as we can possibly get before you call this church out of here. In Jesus' name, amen. God richly bless you as you're seated just now. Amen. Tonight, worldliness is a modern giant that not only threatens our generation, but it's threatening our world. And it's threatening the church. It wants to threaten the apostolic movement. If there's ever been a time that we need to stand for pure holiness, it is now. How many of you will agree with me that according to the Word of God, that Egypt represents the world in the Word of God? Amen. It just represents the world. And now, I'm not saying if you're sitting here tonight and you're Egyptian, I'm not saying that you're worldly. I'm just simply saying that Egypt itself, from the Word of God, represents the world. That's why Moses had to lead the children of Israel away from Egypt to the promised land. And so it is. Every man of God ought to be about leading the church of God away from worldliness into a place of holiness. Amen. And it is strange, and I've ministered on the subject of holiness many times, but it still feels strange. I can preach on the blessings of God. I could preach and teach on skinning the devil alive and running him out of town. And man, we could just have a hoedown and have a good time. And you would really be confused, Brother Hedrick, as to whether this was Tuesday night or Sunday night if we got to preaching like that. But the subject of holiness really kind of quietens things. Brings things to a silence. And I believe it is because it is such a rare item anymore. And because it is a subject that is not taught or preached or brought across our nation's pulpits any longer. But that means that it should be preached even more. That it should be taught even more. Because I believe it is one of the major characteristics of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, He was holy. And He said to be holy, for He was holy. Amen. So there is an admonishment and a challenge to the people of God to be ye holy. Amen. When the world makes inroads inside of the church, the world is not made better. This world will never be made better as a result of a church compromising. The church is made worldly is what happens. And we need to understand, because in many cases, we've got to understand the children of the world are wiser than the saints of God in many cases. That's why you can train your children to grow up in the way they ought to be brought up. Amen. You could take a 14, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old child that you've practically raised in the church, if not raised in the church. I may have dedicated them and associated with the right crowd. They can take that away from them in 15 minutes. Because, listen, to survive in this world, you got to be wise. And you got to be clever. And to be successful in this world, you've got to have some wisdom, and you've got to be sharp, but you got to have some wits about you. And the devil will see to it that you would get them, especially if you're going to go about pulling an apostolic down, because that's a trophy to hell. Now, when I go deer hunting, most of the time, especially the first part of the season, any deer will do. If the county permits it and it's legal, if it's brown, it's down. Because I've been waiting all year to do this, and I'm going to shoot something. But then later in the season, you get a little bit picky about what you want. And so then, you know, you have dreams and visions of the 10 point and the 12 point. I'm just telling you tonight, to the devil, you're a 10 point. And you're a 12 point. And so the only thing that we can guard ourselves against the world with is our separation. And our separation is holiness and righteousness with the Lord. Amen. And so we can't let the world make inroads in the church, and we can't let the world make inroads into us personally, because we know that it can wipe everything out that the Lord gave us. And we don't want that to happen. The spirit of the world will take possession of us if we allow it to do so. Can you say amen? We must constantly guard against worldliness. The Word of God uses the word world in two different ways. Number one, the world as a people. In John 3:16, the Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Amen. And so that is one world. Another world is the world as a system. 1 John 2:15, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That is not a contradiction. That is two different worlds. One is a sea of lost humanity that we need to have compassion over, and that we need to have passion for, and we need to reach out with love, with sound doctrine, and holiness. Amen? Praise God. Listen, they may like what they feel, but if they don't know, if they can never find out what they're feeling, they may try to find that feeling anywhere. But when they come and they need answers, we need to give them something they can sink their spiritual teeth in that is meat for the spirit. Amen? What is worldliness? Worldliness is a condition of the heart which is manifest in the way people live and in the way they think, the things they do, even the places they go, the way they speak, their nature, their demeanor. This depicts worldliness. It is living with a warped and totally unscriptural values. A person that is worldly sacrifices biblical values for values of the world. I just read it the other day. Jesus said it himself. He said, you've got it all over your lips, but it's so far from your heart. You talk it, but it is so far away from your heart. We want it in our lips, and we want it in our hearts as well, right? Amen. And so we learned that worldliness is a condition of our spirit mind. It is a living with warped, unscriptural values. It is assigning value. Worldliness is simply assigning value to that which the Lord deems not valuable. And in other words, God condemns worldliness. And when you value the things of the world, then you're valuing, you're actually highlighting what God is condemning. Amen. It's rejecting God's priorities for man's priorities. I must never, in preparation for a sermon that I'm going to preach in the Philippines in just a few weeks, to over 200 pastors and wives and ministry, I confess something, and that is this. And it may not be that way with you, but I battle with the flesh over the things of God. My priorities, if I just let them run amok, I'm going to wind up doing things I want to do, and yet they are things that God would not have me do. Right? And so I go down a long list of what I struggle with and what the flesh would have me to do versus what God would have me to do. It's so much easier just to simply say yes to the flesh and hope it all comes out all right. But I promise you it will not, because you're sowing seed. And so we need to understand that worldliness is rejecting God's priorities. 1 John 2:16. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world. Now we need to be careful and watch the wording in the Word of God. It didn't say some things that are in the world. It said all that is in the world. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. The pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Praise God. Amen. Worldliness can enter the church through a lot of ways, but tonight we're talking about certain things. We could talk about many things. We've already talked about many things. But worldliness can come into the church through movies. Worldliness can come into the church through television industry. You say, how in the world can worldliness come into the church through a movie? Now, I don't watch it, but I know for a fact I did before I came to God, and I came to God in the 70s. Man, I feel old. Because when I came to God, our nation was only 200 years old. Now it's 3 or 4, isn't it? 1976, the bicentennial year, celebrating everywhere, and I was celebrating at an apostolic church. God had just filled a 17-year-old boy with the Holy Ghost. But I know at 17, just 17 years old, that a lot of water had already gone under the bridge, and my eyes had already seen a lot of things that Hollywood had to offer in the form of theaters and drive-ins. I don't even think they have drive-ins anymore, but theaters and drive-ins, and I had seen some things that I had as a young man had no business seeing. Even today, after many years of being filled with the Holy Ghost, I still struggle with those visions of things that I saw. And so it is only fair that we as parents guard the eyes of our children and keep them from those things so that they won't see them. Oh, they're going to be mad. They're going to get upset. They don't get to do what everybody else is doing because they're under such peer pressure. But you teach them that the only reason their parents don't is because they don't feel their kids are special. But you're very special, and you're being set apart for the kingdom of God, and you're going to be used of the Lord. And when you're going to be used of, hey, build them up. Don't tear them down. Amen. You're not telling them what they don't get to do. You're telling them what they're going to get to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Everything that God uses, before He uses it, He pulls it apart. Amen. I've used the illustration of the olive oil that we anoint the sick with. It's common olive oil. But the olive oil that I use to pray over the sick will never fry an egg. It will never be used on a cooking stove, because now it's something special. It's something set apart. Now, you can go to the grocery store and find thousands of olive oil bottles just like the one that we use, but you won't find this one. You won't find this one. And that's exactly what holiness is. You can go out there in the world and you can find, quote unquote, every kind of thing that you want to find. But you won't find me out there. And you won't find you out there. And I don't want them to find your children out there. And I don't want them to find your children's children out there. Amen. Praise God. And so we need to guard our eyes. Amen. I just teach at Landmark that we shouldn't have televisions. We shouldn't have televisions. You can't. In a television, what I'm talking about is you don't have control over that. I mean, you could Andy Griffith probably still comes on some Family Channel or whatever. I don't know. I've never owned a television. I'm sorry. I apologize for being a dinosaur. But we just don't own one. We don't have one. And let me cover it all real good here for just a few moments. Amen. And then they come on and advertise toothpaste, and they use the most seductive person that you could find in Hollywood. Or they use the most vulgar, nasty person. In other words, they want to get your attention so they can make millions of dollars off of you. They don't care where they take you. They don't care how they influence you. They just want your money. Amen. Well, the Church of the Living God is exactly the opposite. Amen. We want to see you make heaven your home. We want to see your family molded together. We want to see you born again of the water and of the Spirit. We want to see you worship God. Can you see the difference? Amen. And so we have what I call monitors. I guess Walmart calls them televisions. They're not televisions unless you run the cable, I guess. But we have monitors, and you can hook a DVD, and then you can govern what you see. And you can govern what your children see. And we do our best to set our ratings at G-rated, and there's some things that are not rated. And they are good things. But see, even at that, there's some things that when you put it in there, it's going to miss the mark. Take it out, throw it away. I've heard people in our church say, man, I got this movie and I put it in and it was more than G. It was more than PG. And then we didn't watch it 5 minutes. I love that because you're showing personal integrity at home. Amen. And this world needs that. This world needs to know that you don't have to accept that. You don't have to put up with that. You don't have to feed that to your family. Your family doesn't have to have a daily diet of who's sleeping with who and who's a homosexual and who's a lesbian and who's filthy and who's dirty and how many wives and how many husbands they've had. This church needs to let this county know you do not have to feed that to your family. You can take a stand against it, and there are others that agree with you. And we're not warped in our head, Brother Ronnie. Hello? We're not idiots. We're smart. I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. Some of us have our own business. Hallelujah. Many of us have our own businesses. And it's just an awesome thing. Praise God. So we need to be careful and monitor and censor Hollywood. Amen. I've taught that in the future, I understand. I know what it's going to be in the future. There's not going to be any difference between television and computer. I know there's Netflix. I know there's all this, but that's no different than going to a video store and renting. You can get parental control. Am I right? Amen. You can put it right on there, and there's parental control. And what it's ultimately coming down to is that if you do it, you're going to do it because of personal, godly character. And personal integrity. Amen. I'm not saying go buy television. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in the near future, I'm not going to be able to preach against it. Because it's going to be, the computer will be everything. I'm going to preach against it while I can. Amen. Hallelujah. Movie theaters and uncensored Hollywood is unacceptable to holiness-minded people. These things appeal to the carnal mind, and they feed the spirit of worldliness. You get a blank sheet of paper. If you're taking notes, you reserve a blank, I mean a full sheet, because I'm going to tell you what we get to do. Amen. We get to hearing so much about what we can't do until the devil says, can't. You're right, buddy. We can't be addicted to pornography if we don't put it in our eyes. We can't be addicted to smoking if we never take a first puff. We can't be addicted to drinking if we never take our first drink. We can't and can't. We can't go to hell if making it to heaven is our number one priority. Amen. People who are holiness-minded reject these things wholeheartedly. Here's some of the reasons holiness-minded people take a firm stand against these things. Amen. Hollywood is made up of people whose character and lifestyle is corrupt. Now, it's the truth. You know that it's the truth. Amen. You just take a glimpse at People magazine on the rack as you go through, and you can see it. And I found out today some star somewhere. What's his name? Time's up. I didn't get the prize. Some, the highest paid, $35,000 an hour. Hollywood has a strong pull, doesn't it? James 3:11. Listen, and you know who's giving them that money? James 3:11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Hello? James 3:12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? A vine, can it bear forth figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water? In other words, James is saying it's time to be one or the other. Sin is glamorized and graphically presented. Television programming consists of hate, violence, and lust. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. There are people in the world that do not have televisions. There are Hollywood stars. I believe it was Harrison Ford that had an article in a magazine somewhere several years ago. He said, "I do not let my children watch television." Kind of a hypocrite, but hey, he took a stand for his children. Maybe something to change next generation. But television programming consists of hate, violence, and lust. Psalms 101, verse 3, David said, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." And he said, "I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." Whatever you view, whatever you feed into your heart, whatever you feed into your eyesight, whatever you feed into your vision, that's what you're going to talk about. It's what your conversation's going to be. Amen? Amen. And that doesn't need to be our conversation in here. I don't want to bring out Hollywood as preaching points. I don't want you to bring out Hollywood in your teaching points in Sunday school. I don't want you talking about the latest horror flick, people's heads being chopped off while the Holy Ghost is trying to move in here. And if it's not being fed inside, then we're not talking about it. We're talking about the goodness of God. We're talking about revival. We're talking about evangelism. We're talking about church growth. We're talking about family relationships. Amen. Isaiah 33:15-16. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding bribes, that stops his ears from hearing of blood. We need to close our ears and our eyes to gossip and somebody butchering and slaughtering your brother or your sister. And they shut his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. That's what the scripture says. Isaiah 33:15-16. Amen. Hallelujah. We are commanded to depart from that which is polluted. Micah 2:10 says, "Arise and depart, for this is not your rest." This world is not our home. Stop living in this world like you're going to be here forever. Praise God. Come out from among them. Come out from among them. Come out from among them, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. The only relationship that we should have with this world is a love relationship to see them born again. That is it. That's it. Parents, would you help me? The only relationship we should have with this world is the fact that we want to see them born again. And we need to be real about that. We need to be truthful about that. And just and honest about that. Hallelujah. Let me take you somewhere tonight. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 30 and begin with verse number 2. And I'm going to go through some scripture verses real quick for you. It's almost as if Isaiah knew more about the New Testament than the disciples did, because he testified things so accurately. It's talking about people leaving that have been fortunate to get away from Egypt. People that have been fortunate enough to get away from the world. And it's talking about them then desiring to go back. Desiring to go back. It said that walk to go down. Everybody say down. Because to head to Egypt is to go down. To leave the church is to head down. And it said to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. They have not even sought my will about it. They've not prayed about it. They haven't talked to me about it. They've not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. They went to strengthen themselves not in me, but to strengthen themselves in the world, in Egypt, and in its leaders. And they went back to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Their trust is in the world. Verse 3. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame. In other words, the strength that you think you might find in the world is going to come back and cause you great shame. And the trust in the shadow of Egypt is going to be your confusion. Verse number 4. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. Verse number 5. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be an help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. In other words, they left and went back to Egypt. And when they got there, they found out that their leaders did not help them, didn't want to help them, and their leaders were ashamed of them. I want you to hear something. Verse number 6. The burden of the beast of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper. Look at all this stuff that comes out of Egypt. Fiery, flying serpents. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. In other words, they're going to leave the church. That people are going to leave the church, and they're going to take every good gift God gave them, and it's going to be fed back to the world, and the world's going to trample on it. They're going to stomp on it. They're not even going to see what it is. It's no value. Verse number 7. For the Egyptians, the world, shall help. How much? How much? How much is the world going to help us if we leave the church? To no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit down. You'll run to the world for help. You'll run to the world for assistance. You'll run to the world for satisfaction. You'll run to the world for relationship. And it will sit down and will not be a help at all. My, my, my. My question is this. If the world cannot save itself, how is it going to save us? If it can't rescue itself, how would it be able to rescue us? Praise God. Some do not want to hear. Some do not want to hear. listen to this. I let me take you a little further. This chapter has just really jumped out to me. Where are we at? Verse number 8. Let's try that. Let's look at verse number 8. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people. They're lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. If that is your spirit, I wouldn't waste another moment before I would repent and call on the name of Jesus. Because if you play with this too long, you'll get a reprobate spirit and we'll never be able to preach you to an altar again. Verse number 10, here's where we're going. Which say to the seers, this is the preachers, and the prophets, and the teachers, and the evangelists, and all of those. That's what a seer was in the Old Testament. Which say to the seers, see not. In other words, they're saying in their spirit, out there in the world, I don't want you to see anything for me. I don't want you to talk to me about goodness. I don't want you to see any holiness for me. I don't want you to talk. I am my own person. I do what I want to do. I don't care what pastor says. I don't want pastor to see anything for me. I don't want him to say anything to me. If he does, he's getting in my business and he needs to let everything alone. Just leave it alone. Which say to the seers, see not. And they say to the prophets, prophesy not. They don't care if they prophesy. They just don't want to prophesy right things. Speak unto us smooth things. I'm going to tell you something. Just recently, there's been people trying to influence people in our church to go down somewhere and listen to a prophet, because he's going to call you to preach. He's going to call. Let me tell you, that prophet is not God. I don't care who he is. I don't care what his name. And I don't care how good he makes you feel. I don't care how many goosebumps you get when he preaches. That man is not God. God calls into the ministry. God calls into leadership. God calls to do wonderful things. And God can call you from Landmark just as well as he can from under the palm of some self-proclaimed prophet. Hello? Prophesy not unto us right things. In other words, you can prophesy, but don't prophesy right things. Don't prophesy holy things. Don't prophesy righteous things. Speak unto us smooth things. Like, oh, I see your family. Oh, I see you being great. I see you driving a semi and having a tent and covering the nation and having a great ministry. I see this. Listen to me. I'm not here to prophesy smooth things. I'm here to tell you that the end of everything, as you and I know it, is on the horizon, and we need to be ready and we need to be prepared. We need to be a ship with an anchor. Hallelujah. And that anchor needs to be holiness and righteousness before the Lord, because this world is hungry for it. Amen. And they went on to even say on their journey to Egypt, prophesy deceits. Deceive us. I don't care what you say, just make it smooth, make it easy, and cover it up. Hallelujah. And so in our series, we covered the areas of clothing and hair and worldly entertainment. Amen. I want our church to refrain from alcoholism. I want our alcohol and drugs and tobacco and things of that nature that become so addictive that you just... listen, your body is the temple of God. And the smoke that needs to fill the temple should be the glory of God, the incense, the prayer of the saints. Amen. What do we get to do? Are you ready? Ready? Get set? Hallelujah. We get to look holy. Didn't mean to change the subject. We need to dress holy. We get to dress holy. We get to speak holy. I know I'm messing with you, but listen to this. We get to visit Disney World. We get to go to Six Flags. And those of you, the economy's hit a little harder, you get to go to Carowinds. Amen. We get to go to youth rallies. We got a great youth rally coming up. They're already practicing for it, getting ready for it. We got a speaker coming all the way from Florida. They're going to preach to this section of young people, section 5. Everybody's supposed to be here and everybody's coming. Some young person somewhere is going to receive the Holy Ghost. It don't get any better than that. How can it get better than that? Amen. We get to go to conferences and meet other people that we never knew. Brothers and sisters from all over the world that we never knew before. Our general conference sometimes can be 20, almost 30,000 people. There's ladies' conferences. There's men's conferences. There's singles conferences. Youth conferences. There's Sunday school conferences. And on, singles, ministries and things. Conferences. Amen. Ladies, men. Hey, for those of you that like it rugged, we got Beast Feast. You can come and eat some wild pig. Hello? Amen. And I'd venture to say, someone's first visit to Beast Feast was at the church. So if you wasn't a part of the church, you never would have seen Beast Feast. Stuff we get to do. Amen. Deep sea fishing. We're going again this year. I told Brother Bennett, I said, make sure people take their Dramamine. He said, I don't know, Pastor. I think you got a kick out of people getting sick. Over 30 people want to go deep sea fishing. Is your job going to put that together? Hollywood going to put that together for you? Come on, folks. Amen. Let's think on good things. Hallelujah. Hunting. Shopping. I'm glad I put that right after hunting. Shopping. Bike riding. Hello? Four-wheeling. Bye. Sell and trade. It's fun stuff. Hey, don't laugh. I'm not halfway. Friday night meals with our friends. Woohoo! Hallelujah. Prayer meeting for our enemies. No, I don't have that down there. I just thought it was a good idea. Hallelujah. How about we get to have awesome church? Cookouts with one another. Choir, chorale, dramas, outreach, home Bible study, vacations. We even go to the beach and the lake. We get to go to High Rock and go fishing, go swimming, snorkeling, whatever you want to do. Tubing. And then we get to go to heaven. Let's stand together. Oh, hallelujah. There's so many things. The devil is such a liar. He is such a liar. I'm just telling you, children of God know how to have more fun by accident than the world does on purpose. You young people, you've heard it. I'm not saying anything new. They come to school on Monday and they said, man, we partied like animals this weekend, dude. You did? How do you know? My face was in the toilet all night long. I'm just wanting to tell you, if that's fun, I don't need it. Hello? Who wants to live all night Friday and Saturday night looking at last week's hot dog you ate? Yeah, come on now. Praise God. I'm just telling you right now, I can be crude and rude because the world is very crude and rude. And what the world is calling a good time is suicide. It is suicide. It will kill you. Amen. But happy is the man whose heart has found his God. Happy is the lady whose heart has found her God. Happy is the young person that has found her place in the house of God and knows how to worship the Lord. Why don't we lift up the name of Jesus right now? Oh, I feel charged in the Holy Ghost. I feel charged in the Spirit. I feel the presence of the Lord and the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank my God for a church that is setting itself aside, not to be more holy, not to be legalistic, not to be anything except pleasing to God, and to represent a landmark to this generation that there are still people that love God, they love righteousness, and they love church, and they love their families, and they love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Praise God. Our purpose statement is simple: revival, evangelism, church growth, and holiness. That's what we live for. That's what we live for. Because we know in that revival, our family is going to be revived. And we know that in evangelism, the lost are going to be reached, and God's going to give us church growth. Folks, you guys have got me so excited about a new church, I can't hardly sleep. Amen. Project Payoff is coming down by chunks. I mean, it's not just sliding down. We're biting chunks out of it. And so you just pray for me, because we're going to build something on this hill that is going to be a glorified sheep shed for those that need shelter. Yes. Somebody say yes. Are we going to Egypt? No, we've been delivered from Egypt, and we will not look back. God bless you tonight as you're dismissed in Jesus' wonderful name. Thank you for being in the house of God. And everybody get by and shake Miss Morgan Timmons' hand. And is it Natalie? Natalie is here. She's grown so much I didn't even recognize her hardly. Amen. Let them know we're glad to see them tonight.